Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the Dean Show on location. And we've interviewed all sorts of Muslims all over the world. I told you if there's a Muslim on the moon, we'd be interviewing him. But I found a Muslim from Romania, a Romanian Muslim loving Islam. Jibril, assalamu alaikum. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, good to have you. Good to be here, alhamdulillah.
Well, I'll ask you a few questions, inshallah.
All right.
So, in a predominantly Christian, Orthodox, Catholic Romania, how did you find Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, it's a long story. I'll try to make it as short as possible. Yes, so Romania is predominantly Orthodox and some Catholic. That's my background. Most of my family was, you know, raising me that way. Christianity is part of the culture there. It's not something that you just choose, you know, you're raised into it. We were having Bible class, you know, starting grade one. And I'm not talking about here just your normal average Bible study, like you actually go in depth and you know. And I developed actually a love for faith, you know, for Christianity. And I used to be one of the only ones in my family to go to church, actually, believe it or not, you know, grade one, I would go by myself to church and even pick some of the kids in the neighborhood and take them to church, you know, mm-hmm. And even the parents were around, like, what is this guy doing? Yeah. So, yeah, it was, you know, I developed a love for God and interest in faith. To the point where I used to cross the road, I used to cross myself, you know what I mean? I was very, very into it. And I was introduced to Islam very early, actually, you know, part of our history classes in Romania. We, you know, we have a long history with the Turks, with the Muslim Turks. And we were always taught that they're disbelievers, you know, they believe in this God, Allah, who was a different God, who was just, you know, someone out there who was totally, you know, different. Right, so you know, we were kind of taught not to like them. I wouldn't put it hate them, but not to like them. And the Romanians were always praised, and you know, they defeated the Turks, and you know, but obviously history knows that.
So the Muslims were called Turks.
Yeah, the Muslims were called Turks, and we were memorizing even like even now. I know some poetry in Romanian, you know, kind of against, you know, the Muslim Turks and praising the Romanians and the Christian armies and how they defeated, you know, in certain battles the Turks. So you know, it was very nationalistic type.
Nationalistic, like, very. So that's part of the culture.
It was part of the culture, yeah. And you know, so I had that preconceived idea, you know. When push comes to shove, different things happen in my life, and you know, I kind of, when I came to Canada, which was 1998, I was introduced to Muslims. I actually finally got to meet a Muslim, and I was like,
was it a Turkish Muslim?
It was not a Turkish Muslim. It was actually a Bosnian Muslim.
Bosnian Muslim.
Bosnian Muslim, and you know, I met other Muslims, Arab Muslims, and I seen these, you know, variety of people from different backgrounds, all being Muslim. You know, all talking about the same, this Allah, this God, Allah, you know, and I was like, who is this, you know, Allah? So finally, slowly, I realized, first of all, that some of the things that they were saying about Muslims, you know, being pagan and, you know, bad people, that they were not. They were actually very nice people and good people, and they're actually praying Allah, you know, and they prayed in a manner which, you know, I really, really became to love from the beginning. When I would, you know, see my friend praying, I felt like I was missing something myself in my prayers, you know. So actually, at one point in my life, when I was still a Christian, I used to get down and make sujood, you know, because I felt like that's like closer to God than, you know, than just my normal prayers while kneeling or while just, you know, crossing my hands. Right?
Meaning they would like fall on their face and pray to God. Right. Come up all the way down.
Right, they would you know, make what's called a full prostration, which is weird because it's also described of Jesus, peace be upon him, doing it in the Gospels, right? So you know, he did that. So you know, I really became to love, you know, that way of prayer, and I started, you know, being very interested in Islam. You know, trying to understand a little bit about Islam, trying to, you know, see, and a lot of the things that I, you know, knew before about Islam were just, you know, misconceptions. And there came to a point where, you know, I was really, I would say it was the guidance of God that really made me question my own faith. You know, I was really, you know, into different things happened in my life. Basically, you know, I mean, I wouldn't like to flaunt it on.
You were like just everybody else, just chasing the material world, satisfying the flesh, and you know.
Okay, if you want to put it, yeah, I was, you know, drinking, and even though I didn't like drinking, but I was, you know, trying to you know, be in conformity with my friends and everyone.
It's the past, you know, but it's reality. That's what people are caught up into. Yes, just yes. Having a good time, get all you can can.
That's what it was with Canada. Coming here, my parents kind of divorced, and you know, basically. Certain things happened that really opened my mind, right?
Something missing now? You were missing something?
There was a lot missing from the beginning, actually. And now I realize that, and that void was very deep right now, when, you know, my life was, you know, even more empty because my family was broken apart. And, you know, I was culturally confused coming to Canada, right? Like, the culture was different, right? So I was like, I was having identity, you know, issues. I was like, I mean, who am I really? You know, and what is, you know, that same, you know, the question that everyone asks, what am I here for?
The nightclubs and the drinking wasn't, and all that stuff wasn't satisfying answering your questions, okay. Right?
I turned to the female, you know, side for some time, and that supposedly gave some, you know, took my mind off it for some time. But no, it didn't. You know, the nightlife and the drinking, which I didn't like, the drugs I never did because I couldn't. I was just a sports guy all the time, so I couldn't do. But the nightlife never did. I used to go back in my bed at night, and I remember, you know, being drunk and just laying on the back and just sitting almost, you know, nightly, you know, every night I would say this to, like, okay, what did I just do? You know, like, I went, I laughed, I had fun. Yes, I got drunk and, you know, I danced, but I just feel like so empty. What did I do? I mean, I don't feel happy.
Yeah.
Everyone's laughing, like, you know, it's so fake because you're there and you're, you know, you pretend you're having a good time. But I would go home and I would literally be like, what? I don't know, like, can I see myself like this in 5 years, 10 years? What am I really doing? So I was very, very empty, and you know, I was definitely looking for something. And then it came to the point where I was, you know, involved with a certain girl, and we had some issues and arguments. I remember that one night very, very quite very well, actually, that I asked God to, you know, I fell on my, I doing that, you know, sujood, that prostration.
Wait, the Muslims prayed, you copied that, you fell on your face, you humbled yourself.
I humbled myself, you know, and I remember I was crying because I was so depressed. I was just like, man, like, I don't know, I'm not happy, you know? I mean, I came from a third world country where everyone's dreaming to come to Canada, everyone's dreaming to come to the United States, right? That's like the utopia, you know? You want to go there. But when you reach there, it's just like, okay, a year, you're just like, wow, nice buildings, nice cars, nice clothes. But then after some time, it's just like, okay, is that it? You know, like, where is all that hype that everyone's talking about? So I humbled myself and I put my head down to the ground. I was just depressed. I was like, man, I don't know who I am. And I said, you know, oh God, I'm not happy with, you know, girlfriend, this, that, money, whatever, you know, you're trying to get. I'm not happy, you know, like, I mean, I need to find a way. What is this way, you know, that you want me to? I was confused, you know, I was just like, you know, and I, even before that, I turned to the Bible to look for answers, right? But I was confused. And I asked, you know, the Almighty in that position. And I was, honestly, you know, I mean, I don't like to you know, to short, but like, I was crying, you know, I was really in a depressed state. And I remember even after some time, I went to the doctor because I felt I was depressed, you know? And I mean, all you see throughout the TV, you know, doctors and Prozac and, you know, antidepressants, right? So the first thing that clicked my mind, let me go to the doctor. I mean, there's something wrong with me.
Let me not, so you don't feel too bad, because I'll guarantee you there's millions of people that are in that state right now, but they're not doing what you did. You humbled yourself and you're asking God to guide you. Continue, please.
Yes. So I went to the doctor and I was like, listen, I wake up in the morning and I have anxiety attacks, like my heart's about to jump out of my chest. I can't go to school anymore. I don't feel like, I would go to school, I would look at the school door and I would turn around sometimes, you know, I just, my marks went down. I was like, I don't know what's going on. So the doctor said, you know, here, I'll prescribe you some medicine, right? So I look at them, I'm like, I don't want to take pills, man.
Xanax, was it Xanax?
I don't remember what it was. I just don't want to take pills, you know, I need, there's a greater purpose for me, you know, I can't just stuff myself with pills and, you know, hope it's going to go away. So I remember I went, you know, home, and, you know, from this time till the time I found Islam, it was actually a great period of time, I would say about, you know, a year and a half or so, where, you know, it's still emptiness, you know, I try to look for a different place, I try to forget about these things, I try to push myself to be someone I wasn't, just so I appear macho and strong, you know, And it worked for some time, you know. I mean, I was doing very well in school. I was becoming very popular on the soccer team, but it's still, you know, it was catching up with me once in a while, right? And just, you know, bringing back those same feelings. And I knew that I'm just covering up, you know. Sooner or later, that reality is gonna come back to haunt me. And I remember exactly the time when I actually gave up Christianity, because of course I turned to it for answers. And I got kind of kicked out from one of the schools, you know, told not to come back. And I went to a Catholic school, and I remember the priest would come in and, you know, tell us about God, and I would just be like, I would have questions for him, right? And unfortunately, I was, you know, my methodology was not the best, you know, I was a bit rude, and, you know, I would just keep cutting him off and questioning. I was like, it makes no sense. Can you please explain this? Can you please explain that? And you just say, you have to believe. And I remember that I went one day home, and I think it was Saturday morning. I was sitting in front of the computer, and I was looking through some Bible verses right on the internet, and I just researched the Ten Commandments, which we all learned before and memorized in school. But and I read the first commandment, you know, I am your Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any gods except me, you know, in heaven, earth, in between, right? I mean, we all know that, you know, all the Christians know that. And at that time, it was different. It sounded different. And I just realized, I was like, but we don't really do that as Christians. And I remember the next week I went to school and I was talking to one of my teachers. She was explaining something about Christianity. And I said, but miss, we don't really, you know, I mean, the Trinity and the whole issue of, you know, worshiping Jesus, it kind of goes against, you know, the principles of you know, what, the, you know, the Bible supposedly teaches. And she says, yeah, you know what, you're right, but, you know, this is just something we believe. And I remember, in myself, I said, you know, I can't believe this. I just can't. And I went home after some time, I took my cross, and
it just went against your very nature.
Yeah, it went against exactly that feeling in your heart. You know, you have it in yourself as to what, you know, you would see a contradiction, you know, and there's a contradiction there. So I went home, you know, obviously, I wouldn't do that right now, break a cross or anything, but I broke my crosses. I broke all, you know, like icons that we have, usually as Catholics or Orthodox, they have icons. I took those away. And I just said, you know what, I believe in God. All religions are equally evil or whatever, they just cause wars, and I just believe in God, and you know, I'll just live my life like that. I'll have my own religion where I, you know, I'm okay with everyone as long as they call upon God, and I have no problem with praying with all. And I remember even one of my friends, I was telling the Bosnian guy, I was like, we're going on a Toronto trip, and I said, you know, I'll pray with you guys, I don't mind, you know, because you guys pray to God. He says, yeah? He's like, yeah, I like your prayer, teach me how to pray, right? And that's what started that. He actually said, okay, let me teach you how to pray. So, you know, he gave, you know, I gave up Christianity fully. I was, you know, openly saying, I'm not Christian, you know, I believe in God, I'm on the religion of God, I would say, you know, right? And you know, he taught me how to pray. He gave me, you know, Surah Al-Fatiha. And I remember I was, you know, my car broke down at that time for some time, and I was going on the bus. And every time I would be on the bus, I was reading through it. I was like, I would never remember these words, you know. Like, what is Alhamdulillah, you know. I'm not going to remember this, you know. What is Arabic? I mean, why does it have to be Arabic? I would put it in my pocket. And amazingly, it would start going in my mind, you know. Alhamdulillah, you know. I was like, whoa. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, and after some time, easily I memorized it. And I told him that, and he told me, well, actually, this is one of the Quran's...
The first chapter in the verbatim word of God, the Quran.
And he said, that's also one of the miracles, because I said, I memorized it so easily. He said, you know, that's one of the things that Allah tells in the Quran that, you know, he made it easy for people to remember. Right? And I was like, wow, interesting. And slowly, very, very, you know, with much wisdom, he started telling me about Islam. I started taking different books. I was hiding them, mind you know, under my pillow usually, so my family doesn't really know. I didn't want him to, you know. I was a bit embarrassed, you know, that I'm looking into, you know, what they perceive to be this Turkish religion, which, you know, it's a pagan god and whatnot. So I was kind of like hiding it. And I was looking through it, but, you know, again, the worldly things caught up with me, and I was pushing. It was a struggle, you know, I was pushing the knowledge, trying to get into the world. I wasn't happy with the world, trying to go back to the knowledge, and I was, you know, struggling with it too. It was interesting, one of the times that I was going to the mosque with my friend, you know, and we were sitting down one time, and one guy comes to us where he was actually, he knows me, and, you know, he saw me before in the mosque, and he didn't see me for a long time, and he comes, he looks at me, he's like, "Wow, how are you, you know? Did you become Muslim?" And slip of a tongue, I say, "Yeah." I said, "No." And he starts screaming, "Oh, brothers, this guy became Muslim." And I was like, no. And both me and my friend were like trying to explain to him, "No, he didn't become Muslim. He just, you know, I made a mistake." But that mistake was an innate mistake. That was what in my heart I was wanting, you know? Like a slip of a tongue in psychology is something that you really think about. It's inside of you and you can't control it anymore, you know? And you just, you let it go, right? So I that's what my heart was wanting, but I was fighting it.
Go ahead.
And I was fighting it very well, because I pushed it again away. And what happened is my friend actually and me, we went to different schools, and for some time we didn't see each other, right? So that connection, you know, kind of stopped, right? And I got caught up again with, you know, the worldly things on the other side. But there was one incident, and I mean, I don't base the proof on dreams and stuff like that, but there was one incident that I can't just swipe over. I mean, it just catches up with me all the time. That I was sleeping one night after, you know, doing my thing and coming home. I was sleeping one night in my bed, and I dreamt that I was partying, and I was in the house, and it was dark, and, you know, the scenario, right? And a certain person approaches me and stabs me in the stomach. And it was so real. It was what you call like a lucid dream. You know, it's very, you can't really tell the difference between reality and dream. And I was hurting and I was bleeding and I was holding my stomach and I was, you know, getting dizzy. And I walked outside. It was very dark. And I heard the ambulance coming. And when I walked outside, it was very dark. And I looked in the sky and I saw a light in the sky, right? And my soul left, you know, my body. And it was so real that I actually felt it. And as my soul left my body and it was going towards the light, I woke up. And when I woke up, I was just crying. I was just sweated, you know, like I just came out of the pool. Like I was just sweating. I didn't know what happened. You know, my reaction was like, okay, you know, it's in our culture, if you dream, you know, these kind of dreams, nightmares, maybe something bad happened, right? So I went, checked up on my mom, see if she's okay, see if my brother's okay, everyone's okay. And I couldn't, I was just sitting in my bed, and I went back and I was like, I don't know, like, how do I interpret this? And I realized, you know, just in my arrogance, that there is a way out there, and it's not my way. I can't just pick my own way and say, you know what, forget with this, forget with that. I have my own way. There is a way out there, and God wants me to find it till it's too late. That's how I mean, that was just my own interpretation of dream. Not that, you know, I stayed and pondered over it, but I felt it as well, you know. I need to find something. I know there is. I'm just fighting myself, you know. I'm just, you know, fooling myself that there isn't something out there. I just need to find it. And you know what?
So what was that? The logical, rational thing, the overwhelming thing about Islam that overtook you and had you take that step onto becoming a Muslim?
I would say it was what, you know, what we call in Islam, tawhid, right? The oneness of Allah, of God, the perfect oneness, because a lot of people claim that they have, you know, the oneness of God, but that perfect oneness of God. And also another thing, what we call the fitra, you know, that it fits your humane, your natural disposition, you know, you just, it fits that. And before knowing all these, you know, I mean, of course, it added later on to my firm belief, but before I knew, you know, concepts of knowledge of science and the Quran and all these, you know, beautiful things, the Quran that are used today for proofs, you know, and I would say what, you know, I could really understand how the Sahabas felt, you know, because they didn't know about all these sciences in the Quran, right? But they had the tawheed and the fitra, you know, and that matched, right? So that's where, you know, slowly I came, you know, to link that prayer that I made that one night, that desperate prayer, and the dream, and, you know, everything that happened. That's what it was pushing me to. That was the answer for me to that prayer that I made for God to show me, you know, the one true path. And very interesting that, you know, as humans, right, insan, you're always forgetting. It was very interesting because I was eager again trying to fight it. And I remember the day when I gave up. It was the day that, again, I saw that, I mean, you know, God sends people to guide you. I saw that, you know, Bosnian brother again, and it was in the computer center. He was watching a very famous nasheed, everyone watches probably, you know, The Last Breath, you know, by Ahmad Bukhata, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's about the body, the soul leaving the body, you know, and says, you know, and it is true, but it's too late, you know. And it really, when I watched it, it just, it connected everything, you know. And I thought, you know, kind of like the next day, I told him, you know, I really felt that this is the day. I woke up that day. It was just perfect walking on my way to the university. I was just, I felt that, you know what, this is it. I can't fool myself, you know, anymore. This is too much. I'm just kidding myself. And, I saw him actually on the way from one of the classes, and I said, you know what, can you please help me with something? Can you come over to my house? I need some help. And he came at night, and, you know, I went downstairs. We went for, like, you know, in front of the house, and I told him, I want to be Muslim. And he's like, no way. He's like, I knew it all along. He's like, you know, he was so happy. And, you know, very simply he told me, you know, I'm like, obviously, you know, what I do. He said, you just repeat after me, right? And he said, Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Such a beautiful, you know, statement, very simple for a person, you know, to become a Muslim. And since that day, alhamdulillah, you know, I've been a Muslim, you know. I thought that that's going to be, you know, the threshold, you know, when you reach your maxima in your life. You know, I always believed that God had a purpose for me. But it wasn't. It was just the beginning of life.
So now you became a Muslim. You took the declaration of faith, which was Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, which is basically bearing witness that there is only one God. There is no deity worthy of worship except this one God, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that Muhammad is his slave servant and the finality of the prophets, just like Jesus, Moses, Noah were all messengers of God. Now, you're a Muslim, one who surrenders and submits to the Creator, none of His creation. You pray to Him, you worship Him alone. Tell us, for someone else who's hearing your story, what advice do you have for, doesn't matter if he's Romanian, Italian, Irish, white, black, Chinese, Islam is for the whole world, for all mankind. What advice do you have someone who might be caught up in that grip of cultural barriers? I'm born into this and I can't get out. But he's feeling inside, he feels that his natural instinct or his natural, what we call fitra, that it doesn't make sense that God is three and one and all pray and all these other things that they believe, but you know what, he's having a hard time coming over that barrier. He can relate to you. What advice do you give that person?
My advice is, you know, just be sincere. I mean, God, you know, Allah, he hears everyone's prayer, you know. Just be sincere and be open to the truth. There's lots of baggage that you have to push on the side, you know, and that's what I was trying to tell you. You know, it was a fight between myself, what I, you know, my desire wanted, and, you know, what the truth was. And that's what Islam is really, is once you reach the truth, is you're submitting to it, you know. Whether you know, you might not, you know, want to wake up, for example, at 5 in the morning to pray, right? And a person seeking the truth, and he might hear that and might not be used to it, be like, oh man, 5 o'clock or 4:30 sometimes, or, you know, 4 o'clock. That's your body, you know, necessarily you want to sleep, right? But that's the whole issue of Islam. You go against that desire of the body because you submit that will to the will of the Creator. And that's the beautiful thing about it, you know, as you explain. That's, you know, the concept of faith in Islam and the Tawheed and worshipping what you want, you know. If you're sincere and you ask for it, get down there on your knees. Put your head on the ground. If you're Christian, you're not going to have a problem with it because, you know, Jesus did it, Abraham did it, and other prophets did it. Put your head on the ground and ask, you know, don't ask in anyone else's name, okay? This will not be something that will go against, you know, your belief either. Just ask the one true Creator. Just say, oh my Lord, Creator of the heavens and the earth, right? Use, you know, oh, the most gracious, the most merciful, the Creator. Show me the truth. I'm looking for you. I want to submit my will to your will. Just show me the light, and without any doubt, without any doubt, he will guide you, without any doubt.
Thank you once again for being with us on the Deen Show. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. I told you, Islam is for everybody. We have interviewed many people from all over the world, different countries, and we just got to interview somebody from Romania. So, inshallah, God willing, you got to benefit. Tune in every week at thedeenshow.com. thedeenshow.com for more great topics, great lectures, and more of Islam and Muslims straight from the source. Till next time, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.